this afternoon saying that they were going to be coming home today, that Nancy was going to be coming home. And I've been kind of spying on their house all afternoon, and I think that they are home. So that's I think everything's going well, and she's very far along on the mend, so praise God for that. And other than that, welcome everybody. Looks like a good crowd tonight. The music is going to be fantastic, I can assure you. And we're going to be looking at another psalm that's familiar to you, but we might take a little different look at it tonight. But anyway, so why don't we get started? And just stand up. You know how this goes, brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
All right, let's say hi to each other for a minute.
To the depths of the sea, creation revealing your majesty, from the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gave source to its light? Yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. Can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing. Messiah, name above all. the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. The body, the bread, His blood, the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners. Ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, all our hope is in you, all the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer. The rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of. Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, wrapped into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to develop my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me, potter's end. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I
Thanks, you guys. Let's go before our Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you again this evening. We come to worship you. We come to learn more about you. We come to draw close to you, even as we're drawing close to each other. Lord, we are hungry for your word. We're hungry to discover your will for our lives. Lord, we also recognize that each one of us here tonight is an individual with specific concerns, specific needs, specific things that each one of us are struggling with. And as the psalm that we're going to look at tonight suggests, or affirms, or proclaims, you know each one of us individually and intimately. So, Lord, I expect that this part of your word, this psalm that we're going to look at tonight, will be powerful. I pray that through the work of your Holy Spirit, that you will confront each one of us with the gift that we need from you. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. How many of you were here last week? Show of hands. Okay, good. For those of you who weren't, we started a series last Sunday night dealing with some of the psalms that have a bit more difficult language in them, okay? And I used some big words last week. Specifically, we're going to be looking at psalms over the, I think maybe there's four or five more weeks of psalms that we're going to look at, and they're going to get more and more difficult. But it's psalms that have imprecatory language in them. where the psalmist is actually calling down divine curses on enemies, on people. And as we mentioned last week, that sometimes is hard to square with Jesus' command to love our neighbors and even to love our enemies. And so once again, we're going to deal with a psalm tonight that has some imprecatory language, so be listening for that. But it's also a psalm that many of us know very well, and many of us love quite a bit. And so we're going to read this, and then we're going to take a couple of different looks at it like we did last week. So let me read it for you. Psalm 139. Sorry, I should have told you this before while I was blabbering away, but I would encourage you to follow along, and it's on page 974 in your pew Bibles. So, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Familiar psalm? Okay, now, as I do this series, it's more of a teaching series, by the way, as opposed to a preaching series, but I'm going to teach you a little bit, little something each week about perhaps how I look at a psalm with my extensive one-semester course on looking at the psalms. But anyway, first thing I want to point out, I'd love you to have your Bibles open, but anyway, I want you to see, I want you to look at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And then you look all the way to the end, to verse 23. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. You see how that's the same language, only it's one of them is indicative and one of them is a command, right? The first time he says, you have done this. And at the end, he says, in essence, continue to do this, right? What that is called is an inclusio, okay? And that kind of, for this psalm, creates the boundaries of the psalm. Now, last week, we had something that was kind of similar. It's called a chiasm, which kept on pointing to the middle of the psalm. So the first verse and the last verse coincided, and the second and the third and the second to last and the third to last coincided until it brought us to the middle. This one is structured a little bit different, but I wanted to point out that this entire psalm goes together. And we see that based on the inclusio. You have a statement, and then you end with a statement, and what's in between is all one unit, okay? And the reason why I say that is because scholars for many years have tried to argue that beginning at verse 19, that this is something completely different. So verse 19, when the cursing language starts, when the hateful language starts, it's like, you know, what that it just doesn't seem like it belongs there. Maybe that's its own psalm. So they would argue that maybe the psalm was through verse 18, and then somehow something got kind of latched onto it. But I want to make that point. I want to make that real clear that's not the case because of that first and that last thematic statement, that search me and know me. So we have to kind of make allowances for that language that belongs in there, and there's a reason for that. So I've said my piece on that, and we'll see where this goes. But I would imagine that most of you have heard this psalm. And it's a really amazing psalm for a lot of different reasons. And beginning in verse 1, I would guess that most of you begin in a positive light with this psalm. That when you read every successive line here, that this is stuff that you say, yes, this gives me comfort. This is a reason for me to praise God. And so I want to read it that way a minute, okay? Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. So God knows whatever I'm doing, right? All of my actions, God knows them. You perceive my thoughts from afar. So God even knows what we're thinking at any given time. He says, you discern my going out and my lying down. When we travel, God knows. It's not like when we travel, we're leaving God behind somewhere. It says, you are familiar with all my ways, all of our habits, right? Like how we, what order do we brush our teeth and eat breakfast and put on our socks and our pants and our clothes in the morning? He knows our ways. Before a word is on my tongue, he knows what it's going to be. I mean, he's all-knowing. He knows it completely, right? And then the psalmist says, you hem me in, behind and before. And when I was thinking about this, if you're reading this in a positive way, I'm imagining, you know, some of these movies that I've seen where somebody attacks the president, okay? And the Secret Service, there's a guy right in front, and there's a guy right behind him, and there's guys flanking the sides, and they're rushing him somewhere. That's kind of what I imagine when I think about God hemming me in from in front and behind. It's a protective gesture. And also, you lay your hand on me. Also, that's a hand of guidance. You're kind of directing someone where to go as you protect them, as you take them out of harm. And then the psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And wonderful is a little bit of a misleading term, okay? It's not wonderful like, oh, happy, isn't this the greatest thing? But it's wonderful in terms of, this is just beyond me. So I just want to get that out there. But there is that first section, you can read that very positively. That can bring you a lot of comfort. And then it's like it changes the speaking voice. We go from second person to first person, but it's like the psalmist is kind of reinforcing that. And he's saying, almost with a chuckle, He said, you know, where can I go to hide from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I go to the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, you're there. If I settle on the far side of the sea, you're there. Even your hand will, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And that, even that language can be very, very comforting. It's like wherever I go, whatever mess I get into, whatever problems I have, God, God is going to be there. It's a positive thing. He goes on and says, "Surely the surely the darkness is going to hide me. Surely if I get into that big a trouble, then I'm going to be out of luck. The light become night around me. The darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you." Once again, even the darkness does not hide our actions or our thoughts or our words from God. And that, granted, can be a great, great comfort. And then we come to this part, and this is just beautiful language. This is the pro-life biblical passage that I have heard since I was a child, right? The argument that a baby, even at conception, is truly a human being, a baby. He says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." It's not using the terms like fetus or organic matter or anything like that. No, we're talking in human terms. Knitting me together in my mother's womb. And then I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. So even before I developed, you saw not only my body, but all of the days that you ordained for me. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. It's all good stuff, right? I mean, if we begin to read it positive, if we begin with a tone of just praise, if this is just a psalm of praise, then we're tracking so far. But now all of a sudden it's like, if only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, bloodthirsty men, your adversaries misuse your name. They speak of you with evil intent. Do I not hate those who hate you? Abhor those who rise up against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. And that's where people had a problem. If you're looking at the psalmist as just sitting there, looking up into the starry heavens, into the sky, and thinking, "Oh, God, you are wonderful. You are amazing. I praise your name. I'm just amazed at the love and the blessings and the grace that you've shown me." It doesn't make sense that you come out of that kind of thinking and say, "Oh, aren't I just blessed by God? But I hate people. I want God to kill certain people." You know, it just doesn't quite make sense. And that's why for years, different scholars have wanted to, we got to do something with this, because this doesn't fit with our nice psalm of praise. But because of that, those last two verses, that "Search me, O God, and know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts," they had to get rid of that too. It's kind of like, it must have been an addendum, must have been a mistake, and somebody mistakenly thought that that goes there. But anyway, before I give you another reading, which I think is a little bit more accurate to the psalmist's intent, I just want to say this. If this gives you comfort, that God is with you wherever you go, that God knows everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you're going to say before you say it, if that gives you comfort, that is wonderful. That just reflects the depth of the Psalms. And rejoicing in the fact that no matter how far you go astray and how fast you run and how far you go off track, that you're never going to outrun God. That's a wonderful thing. That is God's truth. And then finally, if you think about how God knew you from before you were born and has ordained all of your days, and so you know that God is in control from cradle to grave and beyond both ways. It's wonderful. That is biblical truth. That is biblical truth. We don't have to mess with that, okay? So I say that because I'm going to give you a little bit different look at the psalm now, which helps to accommodate that difficult language towards the end. But that doesn't mean that thinking about those earlier verses the way that we do is wrong. It reflects the depth and the richness of Scripture, okay? So, I'm going to give it to you one more time, okay? But this time, here's what the deal is. When we get to the angry language in verse 19, that's kind of the driving force of the psalm. Okay? When he says, if you would only slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men, they speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, or abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. That's kind of the main point. This time when we read it, that's the main point, okay? And we're not going to start with praise here. As a matter of fact, here we go. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. He's accusing God. He's accusing God. He says, you've searched me and you know me. You know, when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. He's saying that because he's struggling with that. And he's saying, God, you know all this stuff. It's not fair. It's not fair. I feel like I don't have enough control over my life because you know everything. Then he says, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Now we're looking at, God, you've got me trapped. You've got your hand on my shoulder. I can't get away with anything. I want to goof around, but I can't get away with anything. He says, such knowledge is just, it's beyond me. Yes, it's too lofty for me to attain. And then when he says, where can I go to get away from your spirit? It's because he actually wants to do this sometimes. See, the psalmist has two hearts that he's dealing with. He has the heart that loves God and that wants to serve God and that is following the path that God has laid before him. But then he's got the other heart that we all have, that wants to do our own thing, that wants to be in charge of our own lives, that wants to I guess, have the freedom or the cover of darkness to allow us to, I guess, do bad things once in a while. Okay, don't we all have that? Don't we wish we could just like, well, I'm going to forget about my commitment for God because I just really want to do this thing because I just think it's going to make me happier. See, that's what the psalmist is struggling with here at the beginning. But as we go on, it gets more positive. See, he begins wrestling. And he says, if I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depths, you are there. If I rise to the wings of the dawn, if I settle the far side of the sea, even your hand, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Now that is a little bit more positive. Now he's realizing that God's guidance, hemming him in from in front and in back, you know what, maybe God, maybe that's not the worst thing. Maybe I do have some security and some safety, and I can feel your love from that. Now your hand isn't grabbing onto my shoulder and clenching really tight so I can't go anywhere. Now it's a guiding hand. Now it's a gentle hand, and it's a I love you hand. I'm your father, and I want what's best for you hand. But still he's struggling. Because still, he talks about the darkness, and he's talking about the darkness hiding him, right? The darkness, though, will not be dark to God. So even in the dark, we can't get away with anything. But then he thinks about it. And he starts talking about how God created his inmost being. How he was knit together in his mother's womb. And he does praise God that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. See, he's coming around. At first he was wrestling with his commitment to God and what the implications were of that. The responsibilities that come along with following Jesus, with following God, with following the right path. He was struggling with that. But now as he considers it, he's starting to turn his perspective around because it's God that created me. And God created me a certain way. And I'm amazed by God's knowledge. I can't even comprehend it. So maybe God is someone I need to trust. Maybe I shouldn't see it like we talked about this morning, his law and his guidance and his will and his purposes. Maybe we shouldn't see them as constraints. Maybe we should see them more as boundaries that allow us the most freedom that we could possibly have. And so now he breaks into praise. He says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You're not going to leave me. Good news. So now we come to this main part. This is what the psalmist is struggling with. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Now in his struggles, in his wrestling with the fact that God knows everything and God is controlling his life, what the problem is that there are people out there that are not following the right path. And that is affecting the psalmist. And I would dare say that it's tempting the psalmist. And he looks at evil men, and he looks at evil institutions, and he looks at evil in the world, and what he's seeing is that it's maybe even profitable sometimes in the short run. And that's tempting him. And so that's how that part makes sense. If he's struggling with this within himself, with these two hearts, one that seeks to follow God, one that seeks to turn away from him and do what is evil, then of course, once he settles that within himself, once he says, yes, God, I recommit myself to you. You know what's best. I want to follow you. Of course, he is going to come out of that kind of thinking saying, if only you could just get rid of my temptations or the people that are tempting me. If only you could send the bloodthirsty men, the people that are rising up against you, if only you could send them away so that I didn't have to deal with them, I didn't have to fight them, I didn't have to be tempted to join them. And he describes them speaking about God with evil intent. And then what he says, don't I hate those who hate you? And I want hate and love in biblical terms have a lot more to do with actions than feelings, okay? So it's not necessarily the feelings of hatred that he's dealing with. He is talking about how he is to act as a follower of God, as a follower of Jesus, how he is to act in response to people who take their stand against God. And so when he says, hate them, do I not hate your enemies? It's a matter of fighting against them. Fighting over what they stand for. Fighting against their ideas. Standing firm in the faith. He says, I have nothing but hatred for your enemies. It is my responsibility as someone who is following you and following the right path to take a stand. Not only can't I be tempted to go over and participate in what evil there is to participate in, But I also can't stand back and just let it happen either. And so that's what the psalmist is saying after he has wrestled with whether or not he wants to do evil, come to the conclusion that yes, it is God that I want to follow. What he's saying is, God, I'm with you, and I'm not going to stand on the sidelines and let evil happen around me. I'm actually going to actively resist it in your name. And in saying that he is going to resist evil, he realizes that the evil is not all out there. The evil is not all out there. It's not just the evil men. It's not just the temptations that come without, from without. There's a problem within his heart too. And that's why the last two verses make so much sense. At the beginning he says, God, you have searched me and you know me. And at the end he says, kind of restating that, God, continue to search me and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Because there's evil in me too, and that needs to be destroyed too. I hate that too, but I can't get rid of it without you searching me and knowing me. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So, that's it. Lead me in the way everlasting. So I guess the points that I would make here is that it's okay for us to struggle. As long as our struggle leads to recommitments and trusting God that much more. It's not also not okay to just abstain from evil. We need to actively fight it. And finally, we can know that God built us for precisely this. We can know that God does know our hearts because he sent his Son to experience what we have experienced. And because Jesus won the victory, we can be assured of victory in this struggle of the Christian life as well. Amen. Brett?
As we come to our Lord in our evening prayer, are there any prayer requests from the congregation tonight?
I would like to thank everyone for prayers for Nancy, and thankful that she could come home this afternoon. And I would just ask for continued prayers for her for a complete recovery.
On behalf of my parents, thanks for all the prayers for my dad. He is doing better than we could have even chosen to pray for. Everything is going great. The pain is going great. His spirits are high. But just continued prayers because he still has to be pretty much sitting in one spot with his foot up for the next 6 to 8 weeks. So still a long, long haul ahead of him. But praise God, he's doing really well.
Just prayers for the groups that are in here in church that are going to start getting back up together, GEMS, cadets, Sunday school, all of that. Just prayers for the leaders that they are excited for things and excited to share God with these kids. And
prayer for Miles, who's a friend of mine. He has, his lungs are crystallizing. He has cancer in his lungs, and he has bone cancer also, and strength for his wife, Karen, to help see him through this time. And a friend of mine, Jane. Mm-hmm. Who's in the hospital. She had a stroke, and they did a medically induced coma on her, and she has not come out of that, and this has been going on since December. Just that God would touch her and give the doctors wisdom in dealing what's going on there. She can't move any parts of her body. She eats, she opens her eyes. She recognizes people, but they just don't know how to help her or what to do for her.
TJ, you doing good?
Yeah.
You doing good? Do you have any update on Ben? And anything that you can share with us or no?
Nothing official.
Okay. So just like here.
When it comes to help her bike, finally pray for her to feel better soon. Nancy Cosma.
You know our daughter Amelie and her husband Joe Dolphin, where they just became the proud grandparents of another granddaughter. That happened this morning. We're thankful for the birth of a healthy granddaughter.
Thank you for the prayers for TJ's arm, since you said that. He goes in tomorrow, and they're going to do the final x-ray to determine surgery, but they're very optimistic that he won't need surgery, so that's really good. And he should get his elbow back tomorrow, so that's really exciting.
All right. Let's go to the Lord in our evening prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day of rest. We thank you for a day to stop our busy weeks and focus on our relationship with you. Lord, I'm sorry for the way I acted this week. Please forgive me for not always putting you ahead of my work and ahead of my life. It's just amazing that you know it all. There's some times that I try to hide. I try to do it on my own. And I just thank you for always being there and putting your hand on my back. Sometimes it needs to be squeezed. I just always thank you for being there. I pray for strength for each and everyone here as we journey through our lives together. Help us to keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds on you. Keep our feet from stumbling and help us to stay close to you. To be in the Word, and not to waver in our faith when worldly issues face us. Take us, Lord. Mold us, use us, fill us. We give our life to you. You are the potter. We are the clay. Be with us now as we close out another day and prepare for a week ahead. Fill us with the reminders of who you are and what you've done for us. Give us the eyes to witness you. Give us the ears to hear your word and to listen to the needs of others. Give us the hands and feet to serve, not to be served. Bless us, Lord, so we in turn can be a blessing. This evening, we lift up all those who are struggling or those that need your hand of healing. We have many people in our congregation who need you or who want to praise you this evening. Lord, we lift up Nancy Kotsma, what her recent bike accident, and just thank you that she is on the mends, and that she is home. We ask that you continue to be with her, guide her, protect her, and to heal her. We ask that you be with Mark Dirks. We thank you for what he has gone through. We ask that you continue to heal him, be with him every day, and to just look to you as a person that is taking his life and molding it and moving it in the direction that you would like. Lord, we also lift up Viv Evers. Just be with her and with all that she is going through. Bring her back to this church. Bring her back to a position where she can get up and get out of her house and move around and just to feel better. We also lift up Jean Coppers. Ask that you be with her and help her knee to be fully healed. And just give her movement and a way to just continue to get up and enjoy her life, just moving around. Lord, we praise you for Gary Mentink and the surgery that he went through. We continue to pray for full recovery. We also pray for patience as he has to sit in one place. Continue to be with him, and thank you so much that it was better than he ever expected. Lord, we always think of Miriam Johnson and the successful surgery she had in Thailand. Just thank you that she is doing well and that the doctors could do a good surgery with her and that she is on the mends. We also praise you, Lord, for the recent news that Norma Bach got. Thank you for those reports. Continue to be a calming influence in her life, and she still has a ways to go. But thank you for the reports that she recently received. We also thank you for what you've done with T.J. Walcott. We just ask that you be with him tomorrow as he finds out the next step, and we pray that you've done the healing already and that he won't need surgery. And that's what we pray, Lord. We lift him up, and hopefully that you've already taken that elbow and done a lot with it, and that he will be able to use his arm again soon. Lord, we think about Ben Doss and how long he's been away from his family and from this area, and just pray for him that you will continue to keep him safe, keep him hydrated, help him to just understand why he's there, what he's doing, and just praise you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have because of people like Ben. Lord, I lift up a friend of Rose, Miles, as he's going through cancer. Be with him and guide him. Give him the strength to know that you are the ultimate healer and that you can do all things. And there is a reason for what he's going through. And we also lift up Karen, his wife. They give her patience to go through, the understanding to go through this with her husband. And we just pray for those people tonight. And we think of Jane. Touch the doctors so that they can help her with her stroke, to understand what's going on with her right now. Ask that you be with Jane and heal her if it be your will. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for Pastor Drew and Zach and the work that they do and all the programs that are being started up now as schools get to start. Just pray for all the leaders, the people that are part of GEMS, cadets, worship leaders, everyone in our church. Just we pray that they have a great year, that you are lifted up, that you are the reason that those programs are started here, Lord. So I ask that you be with everyone involved with all the programs in our church. Lord, we thank you for the recent marriages in our church. We think of Josh and Katie Stecker and Brady and Allison Adi. Just praise you for those bringing those two together, those couples together, and that they can start their new lives together. Continue to keep your hands on them, guide them, protect them. And be with us as we continue to worship. And as we leave this place, help us to not stop worshiping. Look clearly into our hearts as we live out our faith. We pray to receive all that you have given us, and may our lips and our lives glorify you. Give us the courage to praise you in our day-to-day lives and to declare to those around us that we are yours through our speech and also our action. Lead us in the way to everlasting. We pray all these things through the strong name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you now and forever. Amen.
Jesus, there is power in his name.
name. No fear, no lie can stand against us now. He is here. The word has come to silence every doubt. He is here. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in his name. One name can save. One name breaks every chain. One name always. One name, Jesus. One name, one name remains. One name we will proclaim. One name always.
One name.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in his name. I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives. Amen. Call my name. He rolled the stone away. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives. Amen. Amen. Let my soul join the one that lives. Because he lives, every fear is gone. I know he holds my life, my future in his hands. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives. Never ends. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives.
brothers and sisters, may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain with you always. Amen.
You are not alone if you are lonely. When you feel afraid, you're not the only. We are all the same, in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter. Weak or strong, you know love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. And those we stumble and fall. And he so loved the world, he sent his son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who are torn apart. Blessed are the persecuted and the pure in heart. Blessed are the people hungry for another start. For theirs is the kingdom of God. And all the people said amen. Oh, oh, oh. And all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen. Oh, oh, oh. And all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen.
Amen. Go in peace.